A New York senator calls for Marion Blakey's resignation. Another lawmaker calls for a review of the military's heavy lifting needs, and five were lost in the downing of a Malaysian helicopter. This is Aero News. I'm Pete Combs, filling in for Paul Plack. He's on the road to Oshkosh for next week's Air Venture 2007 celebration. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, July 18th, 2007. We'll get to our top stories in just a moment, but first, breaking news from South America, where a TAM Airlines Airbus A320 apparently ran off the end of the runway at Congonhas Airport in Sao Paulo, Brazil. It happened Tuesday evening. Authorities say 170 people were on board. The aircraft apparently touched down on the runway, but failed to stop its rollout before crashing through the barrier fence and into a nearby gas station. Early reports say there was an explosion. 20 teams of firefighters on the scene, dozens of ambulances. At the time this is being recorded, there is no indication how many people might have been hurt or how many might have survived. Check back with us throughout the day. You'll find us at Aero, that's AERO-news.net. There aren't very many days left in her term as FAA administrator, but one U.S. senator thinks Marion Blakey should be removed from her post immediately. New York Senator Charles Schumer is calling for the administrator's head, saying responsibility for the summer's increasing number of flight delays and cancellations, quote, falls clearly in the lap of the FAA and the FAA administrator. Schumer also blames Blakey for the ongoing feud between the FAA and the nation's air traffic controllers. While the relationship between those two has seldom been cordial, Schumer says it's now sunk to new depths, and it's done so on Blakey's watch. Schumer also points to mounting problems at airports in the New York City area, arguably those worst hit by delays this year, as evidence the FAA is failing the traveling public. Between January and April, for instance, 38% of all flights at Newark Liberty, JFK, and LaGuardia were either late or canceled, leading to a ripple effect across the nation. Blakey's five-year term as administrator expires in September this year, although theoretically, it could be extended. Tired of relying on what she calls four-star generals' gut-level instincts when it comes to billions of dollars, Missouri Senator Claire McCaskill is co-sponsoring an amendment to the Senate's 2008 Defense Authorization Bill. The amendment calls for an independent study of the military's airlift needs, and she wants it done no later than February 2009. At issue? The Air Force's stated need for more C-17 Globemaster III heavy-lift aircraft. Now, some in Congress say the military can soldier on just fine with updated versions of the C-5 Galaxy, which is bigger but not as efficient as the C-17 and, oh, by the way, can't operate on short fields. The amendment could resolve differences between the House and Senate versions of the funding bill. In its version of the authorization measure, the House authorized 10 additional C-17s. The Senate version adds none. Crews searching for a missing Royal Malaysian Air Force helicopter were hoping for better news. But Tuesday, after a five-day search, the wreckage of a Sikorsky S-61 Nuri helicopter was found in the dense forest near Pahang. The RMAF reports no survivors among the five who were on board. Local media say more than 1,000 searchers in the air and on the ground poured over the area where the aircraft went down, but they were often tripped up by thick fog, thick jungle, heavy wind, and tropical rain. We understand this was the biggest SAR effort ever mounted in Malaysia, involving more than 15 aircraft, including a Seahawk belonging to the U.S. Navy and another helicopter belonging to the Sultan of Pahang, Ahmad Shah. Weather is thought to have been a factor in the crash. It's been an extremely busy travel season for the nation's major airlines, and that should translate into increased profits for those carriers. Airline profits for the April to June period are expected to be higher than a year ago, as carriers start to release their second quarter earnings reports this week. But despite what would appear to be brightening forecasts after years of cloudy physical skies, analysts have actually lowered their earnings forecasts for some airlines, and in some cases, by double digits. The reason? Uncertainty about higher fuel costs, continued delays, and the rising number of cancellations. Investors are also worried about reports increasing load factors may be a bit overstated, since several carriers have cut capacity by flying fewer aircraft. Still, in the end, analyst Ray Neidel says airlines should post almost $2 billion in earnings for the second quarter. Just how long the airlines will sustain that kind of good fortune is another matter, a question that for the moment remains unanswered. Up next on ANN, clouds dampen the start of the U.S. National Balloon Championships in Waco, Texas. Honda Aero chooses the Tar Heel State for a new engine plant. And Brazil's Embraer says bigger planes? Yeah, that could happen. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back now with more of your Aero News briefing for July 18th, 2007. On the web, you'll find us at Aero, that's AERO-news.net. In for Paul Plack, I'm Pete Combs. Good to be back. While most of the aviation world has its sights set on southeast Wisconsin for the next 10 days or so, let's not forget another high-flying event takes place this week. 46 of the nation's best hot air balloon pilots have gathered in Waco, Texas for the 2007 U.S. National Hot Air Balloon Championship. During the six-day event, which runs through Sunday, balloonists compete in a number of events to determine their precision and their flying skill. The weather, however, may be a problem. Central Texas is where, of course, you will find record rains, even floods this year, and on Tuesday, a low-level scud layer canceled the kickoff ceremony. Oh well, as they say, tomorrow is another and hopefully brighter day, and the competition is set to resume on Wednesday morning. Hey, remember our report earlier this year? We told you Honda has picked Piedmont Triad International Airport near Greensboro, North Carolina, as the site for production of its Honda jet. Well, Tuesday, Honda Aero announced that it, too, will do business in the Tar Heel State. The joint venture between Honda Aero and GE will establish its corporate headquarters and a jet engine manufacturing plant in Burlington, North Carolina. Production at that new engine plant will begin in late 2010, and the first product off the line will be the GE Honda HF120 turbofan. That engine has been selected to power the Honda jet and to power the new upcoming Spectrum Freedom light jet. From small jets to big ones, that is undiscovered country for Embraer, which has made its name in the regional jet market. Embraer CEO Federico Corrado tells Bloomberg he thinks the company might just take a look at building bigger planes than it now offers its customers, and that could happen as soon as 2015, but only if a promised next-generation engine technology becomes reality. It's by no means a solely Embraer problem. That same question is what's keeping both Boeing and Airbus from replacing their most popular brands, the 737 and the A320, respectively. Corrado says a decision before then would be, quote, premature, and there's no sense bringing to market a product that would be similar to existing products. One airline's apparent predilection for not showing up on time has resulted in big bucks and greater vindication. For a Michigan woman, Jane Wan sued Spirit Airlines in small claims court after the airline canceled her family's March 23rd flight from Detroit Metro and never rebooked them. She told the Detroit Free Press litigation was a last resort after the airline failed to resolve the matter to her satisfaction. During a hearing on May 14th, the judge agreed and awarded one a $1,370.75 judgment for the cost of hotels, meals, and tickets on another airline. Spirit didn't win any points with a judge, and failed to show up for the original hearing. At a second hearing on Monday, called at Spirit's request, Judge Richard Ball chastised the airline's Detroit operations manager for not showing up the first time, refusing to buy Spirit's excuse. Its executives never saw the summons. While the ruling wasn't for an especially large sum of money, aviation attorney Don Frank says news of the decision could encourage other passengers fed up with lousy treatment by the airlines to take their cases to court. One says she just wishes the airline would have gotten it right the first time. And she says, you know, an apology would have been nice. Still ahead, a couple of Indian Air Force pilots are halfway to their goal of a round-the-world flight in a light aircraft. STS-118 astronauts complete another step on their path to the International Space Station, and a Mesa Airlines pilot is in hot water, accused of stealing a passenger's iPod. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 350 and 400 are now available with either an Abadine or Garmin electronic cockpit. The new Garmin G1000 equipped Columbia 350 and 400 have just been introduced with the new ReadyPad. While the G1000 panel integrates all navigation and flight instruments into two high-resolution screens, incorporating GPS, Nav, Comm, Autopilot, Transponder, and Flight Director into one easy-to-use package. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144 or check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Hey, this is Tom Gresham. You know, I am an aviation nut. I just love to fly airplanes. That's why I started a brand new TV series called Wings to Adventure. It's on the Outdoor Channel. Now, if you don't get the Outdoor Channel, be sure to call your cable system and tell them you want to see this thing, because we show airplanes in high definition. It is seriously cool. For more information, be sure to go to our website. It's wingstoadventure.com. That's wingstoadventure.com. We're on 3 times a week on the Outdoor Channel, so be sure to join us.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back now to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, July 18th, 2007. In for Paul Platt, I'm Pete Combs. Two Indian Air Force fighter pilots are winging a flight design CTSW advance around the world, and so far, they've made it to the United States, about halfway. Pilot Rahul Monga normally flies attack helicopters. His co-pilot, Anil Kumar, handles supersonic jet fighters. The pair took off June 1st. So far, they say, the biggest problem on this flight hasn't been the weather, hasn't been a mechanical problem, hasn't even been dealing with Russian air traffic controllers. Nope, they say the biggest problem has been landing the light aircraft in strong winds. They compare that to dealing with a drunken dinosaur. The German manufacturer of the CT might not appreciate that comparison. You have to keep in mind what these guys are used to flying. Both hope to complete their journey around the world in 45 days, less than half the current record for a micro-light round-the-world flight. Tuesday, they landed in Santa Paula, California. Next up, stops in Colorado Springs and Jacksonville, Florida, and then on up to Canada and across the Atlantic. The 7-member crew for the next shuttle launch, STS-118, now at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, there for the Terminal Countdown Demonstration Test. You might know it as the TCDT. It is a final round of pre-launch training exercises ahead of the scheduled August 7th launch of the shuttle Endeavour, another mission to the International Space Station. The test concludes with a simulated launch countdown for the crew and the launch team. On Tuesday, the full crew visited the launch pad for fire suppression training and a driving lesson in the M113 armored personnel carrier. That would carry them to safety from the pad in the event of an emergency. And speaking of Endeavor, NASA says enough already with the jokes about the agency's spelling skills. mischievous scams that we are, ANN was one of the first media outlets to pick up on an unfortunate error on a banner erected by NASA at Launchpad 39A last week. The banner carried the message, "Go Endeavor," and spelled Endeavor, E-N-D-E-A-V-O-R. Right sentiment, wrong spelling. The shuttle's named for the British explorer James Cook's legendary ship. That's Endeavor with a U. NASA corrected the error within about 90 minutes of the shuttle's arrival at the pad last Wednesday, but not before cameras captured the image and transmitted it worldwide. Turns out the erroneous spelling was the fault of a print shop NASA contractor Space Gateway Support uses to create just such banners, but because of the tight schedule, nobody proofread the banner before it was put up at the pad. Company spokesman Sam Gutierrez calls the error a human mistake. And finally, this story. To the beat of a different drummer. Police at Jacksonville International Airport accuse a Mesa Airlines pilot of stealing a passenger's iPod at a security checkpoint. Police say Christopher Newton was caught red-handed on camera Thursday, taking an iPod out of somebody else's container as they were going through the security checkpoint. The victim later reported the missing audio device, and a police officer was called to the scene. Newton, by that time, was in the cockpit of United Express Flight 7332 when officers asked him to pull over to the curb and step off the plane. Newton admitted he had that iPod and then said he took the item because he knew it would be confiscated. Well, he handed over the iPod to the officers. He was then allowed to continue on his way. The flight was already 15 minutes late. The case remains under investigation, however, and Newton's flying days may be numbered. All this for an iPod? Huh. You know, I would have held out for an iPhone. Those things are pretty cool. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. ANN's Paul Plack talks with Adam Smith. He's the director of features and attractions for EAA AirVenture Oshkosh. They'll be talking about what will be special at the event this year. And, you know, if you haven't done so already, go ahead, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, and Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. In for Paul Plack, I'm Pete Combs. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you at the airport.